Welcome back to Sports Country, joined by Sam Dostler of AmateurGolf.com. And Sam was at the Travelers Championship this past weekend, and an unlikely finish, Sam, as Bubba Watson comes from six back, and Paul Casey, who had been playing so great all weekend, I guess he just picked the worst possible time to have a bad round, and Bubba Watson got hot at the right time.
Yeah, he certainly did, and we see it quite often over at TPC River Highlands. A guy can come from behind. It's one of those courses where if you hit the ball in the right spot, you can really get it rolling. And Bubba did just that, as you mentioned, coming back from six strokes back. He did the same thing when he won his first PGA Tour event in Cromwell in 2010. And he just played lights out. You thought maybe after a bogey on the eighth, he might run out of some steam, but then 5 under 30 on the back, bogey free, and really he kind of won it running away. It was sort of a bizarre finish with the last five groups or something, really, after Casey bogeyed the 16th. There was no drama coming down the stretch.
Well, yeah, it's not very often you're watching a golf tournament on television and they're interviewing the winner when there's people on the course that still have 2 and 3 holes to play, but they have absolutely no chance to get back in the tournament. I mean, it was just kind of bizarre.
Yeah, there's how many times can you really think about that happening? I remember it happening at the 2013 British Open when Phil Mickelson won. It was kind of the same situation, but for the most part, it comes down to those final couple of groups. And Paul Casey, you thought he was going to sort of run away with this thing, especially after he rolled one in from on the fringe on the first hole to move to 17 under a birdie there. Had a comfortable lead, was leading by 4 coming into today, and really had everything working all week long. But golf, as you know, Gene, it's just a bizarre sport. You can be knocking everything right on the flagstick one day, and then the next day be 10 strokes worse, and that's what it was for Paul Casey.
Well, and you know, this is what one of the things I wanted to bring up, and you said you mentioned it a little bit before about the golf course, the way it is. That golf course seems so accessible, and you can see so many low numbers on that course. Guys look like they're tearing it up. But then you see other guys that really struggle. I don't know whether it's because it doesn't fit their game right or that course just seems to have teeth at times when you don't expect it to.
Yeah, you're right, and there's really no explanation for it. I mean, I think the perfect example for that is Jordan Spieth this week comes in defending champion. Obviously, he wasn't playing great golf, but he came in, lights out on day one, 7 under 63, then a pair of over par rounds, 73, 71 in the second and third round. And he wasn't in the mix come Sunday. He did go 1 under 69 today, but I think it's one of those courses where if you just get out of position a little bit off the tee or with your second shot, you're not going to be able to attack the pins, because there are those runoffs on the greens. Just if you've been out there or watch on TV, there's runoffs. There's spots where it can be difficult. A great example is the 15th hole. It's very accessible, a short par 4. A lot of guys, anyone in the field can reach it off the tee, but if you're not in the right spot, you're going to, with that elevation, to make par at times. So I think that's what makes this course so fun. You can get guys that can go on a roll like Bubba Watson did today, or Stewart Cink a little bit earlier in the day, or you can put up a big number if you just are offline a little bit.
Well, for whatever reason, Bubba Watson loves this course. I mean, this was his third victory here. And I mean, he was quoted right after saying, "Hey, look, as soon as this comes up on his schedule, he runs to sign up for this tournament," and rightly so, because he has had so much success here. But what I wanted to talk to you about is he's one of the more polarizing players on tour. Why do you think that is? Is it because he tends to be outspoken and doesn't have that filter that a lot of other golfers have?
I think that has something to do with it. It's interesting. I mean, the crowds, they love him.
Yeah.
In Cromwell, I mean, they swarmed to him. And I know a lot of it is he's a top player in the world. He's now won here 3 times. He could have won in 2016. He's won a couple Masters as well, which elevates his status in the game, of course. Ryder Cups, all of that. But I think he can be distant. There can be times where he won't be so engaging with the crowd. Maybe he'll say something in the media. There's just a few things that'll leave your head scratching. I know last week, early in U.S. Open week, he said some things about the course to his fellow competitors. So there's times where you look at Bubba and you're just, wow, you know, he's a great player, good guy, because he does tons for charity off the
right.
course. But then there's other times where he just leaves you scratching his head and your head, and I think that's where you get the polarizing part of Bubba Watson. But you can't deny he's fun to watch. I mean, that drive he hit on 18 downwind, gave himself 73 yards, and he talked about it after the round on CBS, just how difficult a shot that was. A lot of people don't realize downwind to a tucked pin location, right past the bunker to flip one in there and get it to spin to a couple feet. I mean, that's a tough shot. He's fun to watch when he has it going, that's for sure.
You have to, even though he doesn't have a major in his pocket this year, he's got three wins on tour already this season.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to say he's the early leader for player of the year, is he not?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be right up there. And he's won throughout the year. It hasn't come in bunches.
Right.
It's been throughout the season. And in a year where no one else has sort of risen to the top, he's got to be a front runner. Of course, a lot of golf left to be played. Patrick Reed, although he missed the cut this week, he's got to be right there in the discussion, of course, with the Masters win and then the top five finish last week at the U.S. Open. But he hasn't done much in the other events. So the way the season's, you bring up an extra interesting point. I hadn't really thought about the player of the year conversation, but with the way the year's shaking out, maybe it is the type of year where a guy who doesn't win a major wins that player of the year. And another thing to note is he was very disappointed when he didn't get picked for the Ryder Cup team.
Yep.
In 2016. This is a Ryder Cup year, going to Paris come end of September for the 2018 Ryder Cup. And if you remember, he wanted to be a part of that team so bad that even though he didn't get picked, he went and he served as an assistant captain.
Right.
For in 2016. So I'm sure that's a lot of motivation for his resurgence this year. He wants to be a part of that team.
Another guy who tore it up on Sunday, Stuart Sink, 62, tied for low round of the week. I mean, this guy, 45-year-old guy, jumped up 20 spots on the final day, ends up tied for second. So, again, you talk about somebody that, you know, you thought Casey was going to walk away with it. Now Stuart Sink is putting up numbers early in the round, and you're wondering if maybe he's going to be the guy that Casey's going to have to contend with.
Yeah, and it's great to see Stuart Sink get a high finish like that. You haven't seen his name up at the top of the leaderboard so much the last few years. Of course, won that British Open over Tom Watson when, you know, everybody was pulling for Tom Watson. And Stuart Sink handled that all spectacularly. He's a two-time champion at this course, though. One in the 90s and then one in the mid-2000s. So he's a guy who knows his way around the course. And he won. I remember the last time he won, he won on a day where there was a rain delay. They had to go back out there on Sunday. And after the restart, he kind of took that tournament, took control of the tournament late during the 14, 15, 16 hole stretch. So he's a guy who certainly knows his way around the TPC River Highlands layout.
There was a great story this week, and I don't know how closely you followed this, but this is one of the reasons why I love golf. A guy who had to qualify to even get in the tournament, a guy by the name of Chase Seifert, shoots a 63 to qualify on Monday to even get in. He shoots a 64 on Sunday, ends up tied for ninth. This is a guy, he's 26 years old, out of Florida State, has never done anything on the PGA Tour, comes in, qualifies, and picks up a pretty nice paycheck.
And I think that shows you just, of course, great story, and the paycheck's going to go a long way for him. Because, I mean, being in that Monday qualifying circuit, so, so grueling.
Right.
I mean, you can travel all the way out to nearby the tour stop that week, try to qualify, and if you don't, you're packing your bags, and you're on the road right away. It is grueling. And that, and they take your entrance fee too and run with it. I think it just shows really how close these guys are. You know, number one player in the world to number whatever Chase Seifert is. Any of these guys can get it rolling, and you see it pop up from time to time in tournaments. Of course, on the bigger stages, the Ben Curtises, Todd Hamiltons of the world, guys like that who have won majors. And it's always good to see, great to see, when a guy, you know, Jim Herman a couple of years ago winning a PGA Tour event, Ken Duke, although he plays regularly on the PGA Tour, a guy who had never won caught fire that week.
Right.
So you love to see it.
Well, you know, this is also, it kind of took me back to a conversation you and I had a few weeks ago in a story that you did on amateurgolf.com about a guy that's talking about that the gap between the amateur golfer and the professional golfer is shrinking, so that even guys on the amateur, you know, that are in the amateur circuit could compete on the PGA Tour possibly on a week-to-week basis because that gap is so small now.
Yeah, and there are actually three guys in the field this week who were just playing college golf not too long ago. Doug Gim, who we talked about in relation to that story you were mentioning when I talked to him at the U.S. Open, then also two former Illinois standouts, Nick Hardy and Dylan Meyer. Nick Hardy, the only one of those three to make the cut this week. But that shows you, I mean, this guy's, he's, what, a month out of graduating from Illinois, and here he is making the cut on the PGA Tour. I mean, granted, he's a guy who he played in a few pro events, played in some U.S. Opens, so he has the taste of that, but still able to go out there and made the cut going under par in the first two rounds and brought home a nice paycheck in his first professional PGA Tour start. So, you know, you're going to start to see it. I mean, there's going to be amateurs in some of these fields coming up. In events where amateurs have competed not too long ago, Jared Tatois, who was a kid out of Arizona State, he nearly won the Canadian Open a few years back. So you see it from time to time, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, another amateur at some point won one of these events.
You know, the Travelers has a brutal slot in the schedule after the U.S. Open, and you really, you know, For the organizers, part of they have to be concerned about the slot that they have. But having said that, they drew a great field this week to have some of the guys that come in right after the U.S. Open. I mean, Brooks Koepka, for God's sake. I mean, nobody would have blamed him if he took the week off. And, you know, he came in and you know, he played. He didn't come, you know, really threaten to win the thing. But, you know, it was great to be able to see him show up on that week after the Open.
Yeah, it's good when they honor their commitment like that. And he was a pretty late commit, too. I think maybe 2 weeks before the tournament.
Yep.
I know he's trying to make up some ground for the time he missed earlier in the season with the wrist injury, so that probably factors into it. But, yeah, I mean, well, I believe it was five of the top 10 players
right.
in the world were
yep.
there. You had all the reigning major champions there. You had Jim Furyk there, who's the Ryder Cup captain, and of course the top 20 player in the world for such a long time. The field's just, it's fantastic. It's getting better. It's got depth. I mean, you look at it, and you had guys, the early tee times were littered with names like Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Zach Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and that was before you even got to Bubba Watson, Paul Casey, playing down the stretch, J.B. Holmes, who's a very, very good player. That's before you even got to those guys. And it's quite remarkable what this group has done since the Travelers has taken over. It just keeps getting better and better. And you always hear the players. They rave about the course. They rave about the fans. And they rave about how the tournament treats them. And I don't know what they're doing different from other tournaments, but I'm sure you would agree with me. As people who live in Connecticut, we certainly hope they keep doing it.
Absolutely. You referenced him earlier, and we'll kind of finish on this, but, you know, Jordan Spieth, you know, a disappointing tournament for him, especially after that great first round. As talented as he is, Sam, he's one of those guys who seems to either be really on or way off. There doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground with Jordan Spieth. and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems that if things don't go exactly right for him, and maybe it's mental focus, I don't know, but he seems to be very hot and cold the way he plays golf.
Yeah, and just to go back, I forgot to mention Jason Day also in the field, but
Justin Thomas too is in the field as well.
Justin Thomas, right. Yeah, exactly. But speaking of Spieth, I'm not really sure what to make of him. So as everyone knows, he splashed onto the scene, won the John Deere while he was playing on those sponsor exemptions, and then he just took off. Of course, that 2015 season, Masters win, U.S. Open win. Could have won the British Open that year. Had that duel with Jason Day at Whistling Straits in the PGA Championship, then won the FedEx. All of that in a year. And then, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I see it's been kind of a, you don't want to use the word decline because it's hard to keep that pace,
right.
But it's been kind of a steady step backward, step backward, step backward for Spieth over the last 2 years. I don't know if it's more guys catching up to him or what it is, but it partially could be he's not the type of guy who can overpower a golf course and maybe get away with some things like a Dustin Johnson or a Bubba Watson, a Rory McIlroy, Jason Day. He doesn't hit it quite as far as those guys. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more of a precision type golfer. And then he needs the putter to roll, and the putter just hasn't been there for him. When he was winning those tournaments in 2015, I mean, he was hitting long putt after long putt and converting on the short ones. But the putter's been a question mark for him this year.
You know, part of it with me thinks that he had that great year in 2015, but it was such a whirlwind. Everything happened so fast. It was almost like he was on autopilot. His game was right. Everything was going well. But then you become that huge star, and there's a lot of noise that surrounds that and a lot of activity. And maybe that's the issue more than anything, Sam, is he's having trouble staying focused on what he needs to focus on because there's so many other pulls at his attention and wanting his time, and maybe that's the problem more than anything.
Yeah, and I think he's done a better job with that. I remember right after he went on that run in early 2016, he played on in a lot of those international events.
Yeah, he was down in Australia.
Dubai.
Yep.
Yeah, Australia. And even though these guys travel all the time, that takes a toll on your body when you're changing time zones that dramatically. And I mean,
sure,
they're traveling nice, first class, staying at the best hotels, but your body clock's your body clock. And sometimes it's tough but I think he's done a good job kind of kicking that and sticking to the PGA Tour. But yeah, it could be. I mean, he's still young. He's still only 25. It's still a whirlwind to handle.
Yeah, I mean, look. I'm not saying that Jordan Spieth is washed up. I'm just it puzzles me at times just the way that he can be so bad, and you know, and it's, I don't know. It's just odd to me. But what I wanted to get to was at the end of the tournament, he said, and I saw this in an AP story, that he had been thinking about taking a bunch of time off before the British Open to rest. Now he's concerned that his game is so poor that maybe he needs to keep going and he needs to play more before the British Open starts. Now, I mean, I understand people wanting to work at their game, but Sam, unless he's going to go over to England and play on links courses, how do you prepare your game by working on it here to prepare to go over there and play links golf?
I mean, it could be something as simple as he wants to kind of just focus on getting the putting stroke down, his ball striking. Just maybe, you know, some guys, guys like to do different things. Phil Mickelson, he loves to play the week before a major.
Right.
Other guys, they like to take a week off. Guys just do it in different ways. And part of me, I wonder if Spieth is still struggling to kind of find, you mentioned the whirlwind, like maybe he hasn't found his rhythm, the best way to do it. Because
mm-hmm.
Last year he didn't play between the Travelers and the Open. And of course he won the Travelers last year. So he's playing much better and then went on to win the Open Championship.
Right.
So I'm sure he was thinking along the same lines this year, doing something like that. But you know, maybe he's a guy who needs to play more tournament golf. And it's very easily something he could still be figuring out what works best for him. And maybe he's a guy who it changes year to year for, and he just kind of has to feel his own game out.
Well, I know that that you had said earlier in the week that this is your favorite week of the year with the Travelers Championship here in town. So now what happens now for the next 51 weeks or, you know, until this thing comes around again? Are you going to be all depressed? I mean, what's going to keep Sam going now that the favorite week of the year is over?
Well, there still is a lot to look forward to in summer. So I think I'll find a couple things to keep me going. Usually I look forward to UConn basketball in the winter.
Not so much now.
TBD on that. Talk to me in about around Christmas time. But Sam will find a few things. Although my girlfriend on Wednesday, I was like, oh, Travelers starts around. She's like, yeah. 4 days, I won't have to hear you talk about it for a little while. So,
well, you know, Sam is one of the hardest working guys I know. I mean, he's by the way, he's a great broadcaster as well. But just because you had nothing else to do, and I'm assuming, and by the way, if I'd like seafood, this would be a great job for me. But you've got another new venture now, the New England Seafood Journal that you guys are doing, and so yeah. I guess if nothing else, you'll be eating for the rest of the summer, right?
Yes, that's true. Actually, we're. We're heading to Lenny and Joe's Seafood down by Hammonasset tonight for
the fishtail.
So, yes, the fishtail.
I've been there. Even though I don't eat seafood, I've been there.
Yes, hey, there's good non-seafood there, and we like to include non-seafood items in our reviews. So that is what will be keeping me busy, eating some good seafood.
There you go. Well, Sam, I appreciate a few minutes. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry that the week is over for you, but the good news is they'll be back next year.
Yeah, only 51 more weeks to go.
There you go. Sam Doster here on Sports Country. We'll be back in a minute on the Wake Up Call.